We have an advocate with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, paid the price we deserve to pay, opened the way into the holiest. We can come with confidence in the blood of Christ today, not based upon our own merits, but on His, in His righteousness, and know that our Father is there waiting if we would just turn to Him. Don't listen to the devil. He tells lies. He tries to stop you from prayer and from calling on your Father, because he knows that we need him. We were created for him. We were designed for God. Amen. And so it's abnormal to not have a relationship with your Creator. And when we were separated through sin, Jesus Christ, amen, paid the price for us to reconcile us, bring us back into that relationship. So once again, we can be restored to this fellowship, amen, and this joy of his presence. And if it wasn't for the Lord, who knows? How many have said that before in your life? If it wasn't for God, who knows where I'd be today? You know, if it wasn't for his mercy, really. It wasn't because I was so good, but because God's so good. He's merciful. He's patient. He's long-suffering. Agape, God's kind of love, suffers long. He endures a lot of our stuff, you know. But he wants us to be with him. And he waits for us to come home. When he saw the prodigal son a great distance off, says he ran to him and embraced him, kissed him, didn't he? And he was thinking in his mind, oh, I'm a loser. But where I was at is not where I wanted to be. And so I'm coming back to my father's house. At least he could make me one of his hired servants. Still be better than where I was at. But what did God do? He embraced him. He kissed him. He welcomed him. He gave him the robe of distinction. Amen. A crown. Amen. A mitre. A fair mitre, if you will. It was a distinction as a son. And amen. The ring on his finger with a family logo. Shoes on his feet. Amen. You're not a slave. You're a son. You're a daughter. Hallelujah. You know, God wants us to get up sometimes off our face and out of our grief and out of our shame and out of our wallowing in the past and, oh, woe is me and all the bad stuff and I'm a victim. God says, stop it. You find your rest in me. Come to me. Hallelujah. I'll give you real rest for your soul. You're not going to find it in dope. You're not going to find it in entertainment. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Relationships, even earthly relationships, cannot compare to this relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, the Father of our spirits, who invites us to his throne. Guys, I believe if we are walking in faith, that we are walking in prayer. Do we really believe that God hears us? It's a real good question, isn't it? Because if you don't believe that God is hearing you, then you won't pray. Or when you do pray, you'll pray with doubt. And it's an insult to who God is, because God is a faithful Father. Amen. So we should never doubt Him. Amen. Even if our own hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Trust His word. Trust His promises. He invites us to come. Anytime. Anywhere. Aren't you glad? He loves you. He loves you so much. And he grieves for us. When he sees his children going astray, it grieves his heart. So we don't want to do anything to grieve our Father, do we? You know, when we come to know how much God really loves us, we come to know the love of God, true love of God in our hearts, it changes you forever. And you have a desire and even a delight to be with him. How many believe that it's healthy for us to desire to be together with God's people? When you're spiritually healthy, you'll have a desire. If we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, we will have fellowship. Amen. We're not cowering in the darkness. Amen. We come into the light. How many know that there are no secrets with God anyways? You might as well just get it right. Amen. Lay it all out there. Get it out. Amen. Confess it. Renounce it. Get right. Hallelujah. The Lord accepts you. Believe that. He said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. When you fail, when you make a mistake, and when you do, and you do, don't run away from God. Run to God. Amen. Learn from your mistakes. You know, if you look throughout the scriptures, all the great men and women of God were men and women of prayer. You know, they had a relationship with God. They knew God. They knew His voice. And, you know, prayer is meant to be answered. Otherwise, God wouldn't ask us to pray. And sometimes people can ask the question, well, if God is sovereign and can do whatever He wishes, then why pray? Well, in short, it's because God chooses to partner with us. He chooses a partnership with us to accomplish His purposes in the earth. But I want to talk about that a little bit. This quote from John Wesley, he said this, "It seems without God, man cannot. And without man, God will not." We need to understand the importance of prayer, the value of prayer, and why it is vital for every one of us here to have a prayer life, a prayer walk with God. Amen? It's communicating with your Father. Amen? Because He is our life. Amen? And prayer is our way of communing with Him who is life. And as we dialogue with Him, how many are good at monologue with God? You know what I'm saying? I am. I've got a whole list of things I come to God with. And, you know, sometimes, God, give me, God, do this, God, do this, God, help. And, you know, and those things, God, okay, we'll pay attention to Him. And He cares about those things. But He really wants us to hear what He has to say. And as we sang that song, His word is life to us. When He speaks, there's life. Amen. When you hear a message and God is speaking in that message through a clay vessel, you or I, there is life. It imparts life to the hearer. So we pray, Father, today that by Your Spirit, God, You will speak through me and impart life to every hearer in Jesus' name. Lord, plow up any hardened hearts that may be here today, God. Plow them up, God. Anoint our ears to hear what You are saying, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Well, if Jesus said it, that's our authority. How many think that we need to be listening to what Jesus said? And prayer is not optional for believers. We're called to it. We are a priesthood in Christ. So we should be in communion, amen, with the Lord. How can you represent the interests of the King if you're not in fellowship with the King? How can you speak on behalf of the King if you're not listening to the King? How can you do what the King is telling you to do if you're not seeing what the King is doing because you've been in His presence? God calls us and invites us into His presence. We can come today confidently and boldly because Jesus has opened the way for us. Hallelujah. Guys, we don't have to run over here or over there to get an open heaven. Right. Some people say, well, you go over there, there's an open heaven over there. How about an open heaven right here? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We can commune with our Father. But there needs to be a partnership between heaven and earth in order for things to happen on earth. Do you see that? Jesus said, pray in this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy, sanctified is Your name, Your kingdom come, and Your will be done. So you and I are spirit in a body made of dirt. Would you say amen to that? And God likes variety, so there's all kinds of different colors of dirt here today. Amen? And humus is a word for dirt, and man is a spirit being. So that's where we get the word human. Humus, man. Human. Dirt. We're spirits in a dirt suit. a dirt body. Amen. Well, even Madonna knew that. She said, we are spirits in a material world. Well, that's true. I don't say I agree with the rest of the song, but that part was true. Amen. But to understand prayer, we need to understand, first of all, our purpose as God's people. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now that word image is a word phantom or spirit. And likeness is resemblance, model, or shape. So let us make man in our image, a spirit, amen, and according to our likeness, resemblance, or model, or form of God. We were made in the form of God, amen. And we were made a little lower than the angels. Amen. God gave man great authority and responsibility on the earth realm, did he not? To represent the Father in heaven. So God says, let them have what? Dominion. Let them have dominion. So God has given to you and I that authorization here in the earth realm. And we need to understand this. Otherwise, we won't understand the purpose or importance of prayer. And we'll just say, well, it's not really that important that I pray. All I need to do is believe. Well, how many know that prayer will help you believe? Amen. Prayer, communion with God, being in God's presence brings confidence. Like, that God is who he says he is. When you get to know God, you know that he is faithful. That he is true. And that he does hear, and he is there. Even if I'm not feeling him, he's still there. Why? Because he said he would be. And so God gave you and I, human beings, this legal right to rule on the earth. He's chosen you and I to partner with him in prayer and service. Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, this is when Isaiah was called, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Now, what was God doing? God was looking for someone. God is looking for someone here today that will partner with him, that will come into agreement with him for his kingdom purposes in heaven to be accomplished on the earth. He's looking. Who shall I send? Who will go? And Isaiah, of course, he was there. He was blown away by the glory of God. He said, what would you say? Here, my God. Sure, I'll go. But you know, even Moses contended with God, didn't he, a little bit? When he was calling him to be the leader of Israel, to lead him out of Egypt. Oh, Lord, I'm just a child. I can't speak, you know. I'm not eloquent of speech, he said. So sometimes we want to reason and argue with God about what God is calling us to do or to be. But, you know, how many know it's always better to agree with God? How many know that God is not only right part of the time, but God is right all of the time? Every single word of his is true. And we need to believe what God said and quit believing the opinions of men or our own opinion about things. If we got an opinion and it's not lining up with God's word, it's an idol of the heart. If we're living a philosophy that is of our own making and it's not in agreement with God's word, it is an idol of the heart. I mean, you know that those idols must come down. You shall have no other gods before me. So what happened after Adam and Eve sinned? Well, the Holy Spirit left, didn't he? He left. And all of a sudden, they had been clothed in God. They wore God-like clothing. And after they rebelled, all of a sudden they found themselves what? Naked. So that meant that God's glory had departed from them. God's Spirit had left them. And now they knew that they were naked. They had lost their clothing, if you will, their divine clothing. And so what was the first thing that Adam did is he went to hide, didn't he? And that's what sin does to us. It makes us ashamed and we go to try to hide, don't we? But what does God do? God comes looking for us. Adam, where are you? He came looking for him. And the Lord is looking for those again who are lost to bring them back, to reconcile them and back to the Father. But they became contaminated. Their bodies became contaminated. So no longer was God going to dwell there, because God will not dwell where there's sin. He will not dwell, as you heard it said, in an unclean temple. That's why under the Old Testament, the temple had to be purified. Amen? With oil and blood. Is that right? Even with the washing of water, there needed to be a purification process, so that temple, amen, was going to be the house of God, if you will, on the earth. How many know today God does not dwell in temples made by hands? But you and I today are the what? The temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So we see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament really coming upon man. He came upon, amen. And who were anointed in the Old Testament? Well, it was the prophets, the priests, and the kings. Amen. Now, who was Jesus in his assignment? Amen. He was prophet, priest, and king. He was the fulfillment of all that. Amen. The fullness, bodily, in Christ. And then when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. He anointed him, and he sent the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and all the many gifts. He's anointed and gifted his church, amen, to represent him in the earth realm. So God is restoring to us that which was stolen or usurped. Even through the rebellion of mankind, God in his mercy gave his son as an offering to pay our debt, that we could be free. And we can come back into fellowship and have confidence in approaching God in prayer. God wants us to come with confident assurance. How many here beside myself have struggled sometimes with prayer because you just feel like your life is such a mess, or you're just not worthy, you know? How many know that apart from Christ, we're not worthy to be in his presence? But if we're clothed in him, come on, then we are qualified to be in his presence. He supplies, amen, the gift, the garment of righteousness, so that we can come with confidence. So it's not based upon my merits or how good I do today, but my Father knows that I have need of him. So even though I may blow it, praise God, I have an advocate with the Father. I can call on the Lord, amen. I can confess those things to God, and thank God I find relief. Amen. See, the devil wants to kick you while you're down, keep you down, and get you believing it's all up to you to save yourself. You can't save yourself. If you try to, you'll lose yourself. But you got to trust Jesus, amen, with that self. Give yourself over to him. Amen. Yield your will to his will. You know, the demons are real, aren't they? There is a real spirit world around us. And just as we see good in this world, we also see the wickedness. We see the evil. And we see how the devil destroys and has brought even destruction in our own lives. But the demons are looking for a body. They're looking for something to inhabit that's wet. Because outside, they dwell where? In dry places. So Luke 11:24, Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. That means waterless places. Seeking rest and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. What is he saying? The devil's looking for a house to inhabit. He's looking for an opportunity to get inside people. Amen? Because he doesn't want to be disembodied. He doesn't want to be in dry places. He wants to be in wet places. Isn't it interesting when Jesus cast out the legion, amen, they went into the swine, and where did the swine go? Into the water. And so, just like God is looking for vessels to inhabit, the devil wants to inhabit vessels too. But before, amen, God's going to inhabit the vessel, we got to clean the vessel. So in the areas, amen, that are not clean, God's not going to be there. That's why we need to cooperate with God in the process, though, when God is convicting us by his Spirit and say, you need to stop that. You need to turn away from that. You need to forsake that sin. Why? Because if we are willfully choosing to sin against what we know is God's will, we are giving permission for the devil to stay there. Isn't that true? And he wants to destroy people. God wants to restore people. So who are we going to listen to? Who are you going to call? We're going to call Jesus, amen? Trust Jesus. I don't want anything to do with the devil. I had enough time, amen, playing in his camp. Nothing there I want. Now remember in the garden, Satan got permission from the serpent. Now I know there's a lot of people that say, well, it's an allegory, and we know that Satan is referred to as a serpent. But Satan had to inhabit a body. Okay, so he inhabited the serpent to tempt Eve. So why did God curse the serpent? Because the serpent must have given permission for Satan to use his body to tempt Eve. So Satan was sinking a vessel he could possess to tempt Eve. And he knew that, you know, God was not going to interfere with man's freedom to choose his free will. The same thing is true today. You and I have to choose who we're going to serve. Every day. Choose this day who you will serve. And so he's looking for, God's looking for vessels that he can fill. Amen. And that he can work through in the earth realm. Why? Because God's original plan was to give mankind dominion, right? Over the earth realm. So therefore, we have to yield ourselves to God and allow him to fill us. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we're not supposed to give any place to what? The devil. Why? Because God wants a clean house. Amen? And we don't want anything in our lives that's going to bring destruction. And that's all the devil's up to anyways. And I know he makes things look so good sometimes, but afterwards, it's not so good, is it? And when you make a mistake, what do? You don't run away from God. You always run right to him. Confess it. Genesis 3:14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And then God told that same devil, he said, the woman that he deceived would become the vessel he would use to defeat him. Isn't that interesting? So he deceives the women, but God says, I'm going to use a woman to defeat you. And he said, I will put enmity or hostility or hatred between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. What is that? That's corrupted Adam and Christ. There's going to be hatred or hostility between Jacob and Esau, right? Isaac and Ishmael. Those who are of the flesh and those who are of the spirit, there's going to be animosity. Amen. There's going to be hatred. Their two are not compatible. And when we try to be compatible with both, we are called double-minded and we're unstable. Why? Because we're given permission for the enemy to have us at least part-time. God wants to be full-time with us. Amen. It's no different than any relationship. If we are espoused to be married to somebody, amen, well, that means you have eyes for no one else. Amen? You're going to be faithful to the one you've committed yourself to. How many know that God is always faithful to us? And he says, between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Praise God, Jesus defeated him, didn't he, at the cross. Genesis 4:4, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For unto us a child. Who's the child? Jesus. God had prepared a body, amen, to inhabit. Jesus. But a son was what? Given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came willingly to this earth, inhabited a body of flesh. Yet that body was not linked to Adam, amen? Because it was a supernatural conception. The Holy Spirit overshadowed that virgin, amen? So that child would not be tainted by the blood of Adam. So he could be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, our sacrifice. Sin could not pay for sin, so it required a sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins. And so in Hebrews 10:5, it says, therefore, when he, Christ, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Yeah, you see, Jesus is the man-child, amen? And the Christ, of course, was the Son. That's why we call him Jesus the Christ. And it's not a Christ, but the Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Therefore, the Lord, in Isaiah 7:14, will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is interesting, too, this word Emmanuel. It means in. Man means man. And El means Elohim. So what is it saying? Emmanuel means in man, Elohim. What's the name for God? Elohim. God in man. Who do we have at the right hand of the Father right now? The man, Christ Jesus, in a glorified body. Amen? He rose bodily from the grave, praise God. You could handle, you could touch. Amen? He said, put your hand, you know, your finger into my hands and touch my side. Is flesh and bone a spirit? No, he's saying he rose bodily from the grave. Hallelujah. So we have a God-man in the heavens as the intercessor, as an intermediator between God and men. Again, do you see it? God has given the authorization for humans, amen, to rule and reign over this earth as we represent his interests in heaven here on the earth. And so God became a man in order to redeem Adam's fallen race. Is this making sense? He had to become a man like us. And so a body had been prepared. And this body was sinless. Because the father of Jesus was not Joseph, but God himself. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Your body is very important. For this reason, because it is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, I am not to take this body, which is his temple, and corrupt it. Give it over to fornication or over to sin, sexual sin. Amen? But I'm to keep myself pure because I am God's vessel. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what happens when we die? When my body dies, what? My spirit leaves the earth realm. I know, contrary to some who think, well, they're just talking to their dead relatives. No. When you leave your body, you go to be with the Lord, amen, if you are a believer. Yes, we are confident, 2 Corinthians 5:8. Yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Here's Paul telling us that if you're absent from your body, you're going to be present with the Lord. All right. Now, why are things so messed up? Because man is separated from God. Isn't that right? That's why our world is so messed up, because people are separated from the Creator and they're under the influence of the wicked one. And the devil's very busy, isn't he? He's working through those who will listen to him. So we see all creation suffering, don't we? Everybody is suffering because of the fall. But praise God, there's going to be a full redemption someday. Even the earth itself is going to be, amen, restored. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to a new body too someday. As the older you get, it's the harder it gets. And you're like, man, the old earth suit's wearing out on us. I haven't been too helpful with it either along the way. But God is all powerful, is He not? Why didn't God, here's another question, why didn't God stop Eve from sinning? Right. Because He was not going to violate His own word, let them have dominion. He gave us the free will to choose. So God is all powerful, He's all knowing, He's omnipresent, but He's not going to violate His word. So what does God look for? He looks for willing human beings. He's looking for vessels. Who shall I send? Who will go? Why pray? Because God has called us to it, to partner with Him to accomplish His purposes on the earth. I believe in prayer. I believe that prayer does change things. And if you don't believe, if you don't have faith, then you won't pray. It's getting quiet in here. The enemy attacks prayer. He doesn't want you to pray. He's going to do everything he can to stop you from communing with God. Amen? So we have to do what we know is right. And I find sometimes things begin as a discipline and they become a pleasure. So sometimes it's a matter of, I know, God, what you're asking me to do. I don't really feel like it. Have you ever done that? Not felt like doing what God, you know, God is telling you to do? But nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. What you asked me to do, I'm going to do it willingly. And then how many know that good feelings follow faith? Sometimes it's not, we think, well, if I get a good feeling, I didn't feel led. Well, sometimes God's going to call you to do something you're not going to feel like doing. Here's where you are really going to be tested in your faith. Do you really believe God? Are you willing to even suffer for the Lord? Do you know that God is good all the time? Do you know that you never lose even if you suffer with God? He will reward you in eternity. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I say to you that you are Peter. And here we go. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Why do we pray? Because God has given us the keys. What does a key do? It unlocks and locks, right? Opens and closes. And He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be where? Loosed in heaven. Okay. So now when He said, you are Peter, I know this has gotten twisted. It's gotten perverted, hasn't it? Some of you know, I was talking about Peter was the original Pope. He's the one that has the keys. How many know that God has given every believer keys to bind and to loose? Because He says, your name is Peter, which is Petros, which is little stone, small stone, tiny stone. Amen? And on this Petra, big rock, who's that? Christ. I will build my church. Amen? Who are we? We are living stones. We're little stones that make up the building of God, the habitation of God in the Spirit. Amen? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that is the head of the church. Amen? And the one that holds us all together. Hallelujah. And that's why we should be gathering in His name. But He said, Peter, I'm giving you the keys to bind and to loose. God does everything with a purpose. Now, I don't always know how to pray. I struggle sometimes with prayer. How about you? But God helps us. God enables us. God supplies power. Amen. So that we can pray. How many pray and ask God to help you pray? Start doing that. Start doing that. Start asking, Lord, I need the grace right now to pray. I need you to touch me, and I need you to quicken me or strengthen me right now. Because God, I don't even know how to pray. And we talked about this on Wednesday night, but how about giving God some praise, amen? Taking a time just to give God praise and thanks, hallelujah. Blessed be your name. And as you're praising God, the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. And what begins to happen is you'll sense that there's a bubbling up from within inside. There's like a releasing of the dam and the water begins to flow out. What's that? The Spirit of God begins to be released out of us. Out of their belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. So as we give God praise, hallelujah, and we worship, and even pray in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, amen, God stirs up, hallelujah, within us and releases out of this. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself in the river of God, amen, and there prayer is no longer a chore, it's a delight. It is a flow out of your life. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, God begins to download things. You begin to see people in your spirit. You begin to know what God is thinking and what He's wanting you to pray. And you get into that place, amen, where it's just wonderful. And even though you didn't come just to pray for you, you came to pray for somebody else. But in doing so, God made sure you were taken care of. God's looking for someone to intercede. He's looking for someone who's willing to say, "Here am I, Lord." God reveals these things. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Now, we can't just stop there. We have to read verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." How can we know the things of God? By the Spirit of God. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God," what? "Except the Spirit of God." How can we know God's will? By the Holy Spirit, who will reveal the Father's heart to us, the will of God. And then we can pray in together in unity with the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're righteous because of Christ, amen? But the Spirit of God is the one that quickens us and enables us to pray a prayer that is connected to the Father's heart. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes prayers can be dry and dusty and lifeless. But it's getting into that place where you're in the river of God. You're in that flow now. You know, it's kind of like, I say it often, but it's like going from a handsaw to a power saw. You know? When the Spirit of God quickens you. Guys, we need to take the time to wait on the Lord. We need to take the time, amen, until we are quickened by God. Amen. Pray. Hallelujah. We're so quick in this society. Everything has to be instant. Instant results. I want it now. But I found sometimes I just got to take some time. And I'll begin by just giving God thanks. Giving God praise. Amen? For all He's done in my life. Hallelujah. And I pray in the Holy Spirit for a while sometimes. And all of a sudden now, I'm in a place where people start coming to me. God starts showing me, "This is why I want you to pray." Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm not just struggling to get the words out. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmity. He comes and assists us, does He not? "For God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit." How do we know the heart of God? By the Spirit of God. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:13, 14. I'm going to finish here. This is when Solomon had built the temple. "And when I shut up heaven," God said, "and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people." Why would God do that? Because sin is a reproach to any people. And if the people rebel against God, then nature itself begins to revolt. The land itself becomes defiled by the sins of the people that are in the land. That's how it works. Why? Because of our authority on the earth. Because of our position. Mankind's influence on the earth. Why did God give Adam charge of the garden? He said, "I want you to tend it. I want you to keep it." And by the way, let me just slip this in without getting goofy about it. But I believe that we should take care of the earth. Not worship the earth. Come on, like some people do. The earth becomes their God, amen? But God gave us this earth, and I believe that we should be good stewards, amen? We shouldn't be polluting the rivers. I'm okay with that. I don't like drinking polluted water. How about you? But we need to understand that sin brings reproach upon a people, And the things even that we're seeing in America, guys, what we see in the natural or in the visible is usually something is going on in the invisible. Would you say amen to that? Even the wickedness, amen. There are definitely forces at work here. There are demons that are looking for someone, amen, to inhabit so that they could work through that person to bring about the bidding of the devil and bringing destruction. But on the other side, God is saying, I'm looking for someone who will yield themselves to me and be my vessel, amen. And what I will do is I will use you, because I've given you the authorization to go in my name to destroy the works of the devil, to cast demons out of people, amen, to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. God has given us the authorization in the earth realm. God always chooses human beings to do his bidding in the earth realm. Have you seen that throughout Scripture? How many here will say, here, I'm one, Lord, you can choose me? Because he's looking for somebody. Are you available today? Are you willing to go with God? Well, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek him, amen, and find out what God's heart is. What is God saying? People say, well, I know God must have a will for me. Otherwise, I probably would have been gone a long time ago. And some people all their lives are saying, I must have a purpose. I must have a purpose. How about discovering what your purpose is? Quit wasting. Turn the tube off. Amen. Yes. Shut down the tablet. Get on your knees. Get before God. Say, God, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want to know your heart. I want to know your will. Lord, I want to bear fruit unto eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm sick of this sin sick world. I want my treasure to be in heaven. How about you? Who will go? Then said I, you're my Lord. Send me. Guys, we call this breakthrough prayer, but I remember, especially starting out in this thing, I started out in Pentecost, you know, and I remember we used to go down and we used to spend some time at the altar, and we used to what we call pray through. What that meant is you need to pray until you get an answer, amen, or the miracle comes or your deliverance comes. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can feel pretty bogged down by the stuff of the world because we live in this world, amen. But how many know that there is a refuge in the Lord? There's a rest in the Lord. There's a place where you can be in an abiding peace, amen, in the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you got something on you, get it off of you. If God's saying get rid of it, get rid of it. Give no place to the devil. He's only going to destroy you. Say yes to God and no to the flesh every day. Amen. And you'll walk in life and peace. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Trust him for his grace. It's his grace that enables you to even pray. So ask the Lord. Lord, give me the grace. Help me to pray. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're for me. I thank you that your promises are yea and amen. Lord, you are not a man that you would lie. Every word you speak is true. Lord, I thank you that you never leave me or forsake me, that you are with me always, even until the end of the age. God, I know that you prepared a place for me and you've opened the heavens for me, Lord, and I can come by way of the blood today, not on my own righteousness, but because of your righteousness, Lord, I can come. And I thank you, Lord, that you hear me and that you always hear me. And I thank you for the privilege of prayer, Lord. And Father, I ask you to fill me with the knowledge of your will, that I may understand and know what your heart is, what your will is, so that I can come into agreement, Lord, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on earth. So just like it is in heaven, Lord, let it be so here on the earth. God is looking for somebody to partner with him. Isaiah 6:8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? But when I shut up heaven, God said in 2 Chronicles 7:13, and there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Here it is, guys. You know this so well. How many can quote this? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, guys, are you hearing it today? Do you know what? There's hope for America. There's hope for America yet. If God's people, if you and I will humble ourselves and pray, seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then God said, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, We want you to heal our land. God, we want you to heal America. God, we ask you to use us as your vessels. God, that you'll reach through, that you'll touch through, that you'll teach through. God, we pray in Jesus' name for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in each one of our lives here today. Those who are here, God, today, I pray, Father, God, you would stir up within their heart, God, that holy passion that is birthed in you, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, just stir us up inside, God. Bring to our attention, Father, the purpose for which you have called us, Lord. Give us even a desire, God, a holy desire to say yes. For it is you who works in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, give us holy passion to glorify your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.